Okay, good. Yeah. And, you know, and frankly, for further evolution, I see at some point having like a new member orientation spot somewhere on our website. You know, like, you've just been elected to the LSB. Here's some things you should know.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I know it sounds all preachy, but I mean, really, like, we don't even give people so much as like an hour interactive thing on what it means to sit on a board. And but anyway, I mean, that's a further evolution, but it's something I see that we could do out of technology as well, which is like, you know, here's where everything is for each committee, and here's some basic primer stuff that you might need to know. You know?
Okay. So, all right. So that sounds good.
Together.
So maybe, yeah. All right. So that sounds wonderful. So do you think you would be able to do that in due time before the next meeting, June
30th? I think I'll just try to do it in conjunction with the minutes. Otherwise, it probably won't happen in time for the
okay,
next meeting.
Okay.
So I will forget
good.
In
okay.
the meeting, and then I'll go, oh, my God, yeah, I'm supposed to do that list. So I'll just try to, I'm making a note of it here to do it with the minutes. Okay.
All right. Sounds great. Does anyone else want to contribute to this item about the historical memory? Yes, Bill?
Yeah, well, just to let you know, we have Google groups for several of the PNB committees. Some of them are just set up. Some of them have just set up this year. Some of the others have been around a while. I think mm-hmm. the finance committee, that you have a Yahoo group, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So all the Google groups are public. Now, they, you know, some of them, you know, may or may not get used regularly, so we need to maybe discipline ourselves to do that. And also regarding kind of orientation, at KPFT, I've had our, when I was the LSB chair, I had our webmaster put most of the reference material that we give in hard copy format to our LSB members on the web, and it's all in one page, or there's links all on one page. So it's sort of a good resource or reference place, and I
mm-hmm.
could send you that, and if that's useful for other stations, you could...
It probably would be, you know, because we don't even give new LSB members any reference materials. They come on raw, and I printed up bylaws for everybody for the new crew this year. But, I mean, like there's nothing. There's literally, like, people don't get so much as one piece of paper handed to them that says this is what you do here. And I find that just, I'm like, ah. So, yeah, please share those good things. Maybe we can spread good stuff
okay.
from station to station.
Well, we could do better. We also had some orientation sessions, but that stuff, we need to collect that and put it there, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, though. You know what I mean? This is the kind of thing we can pull together on this committee. These are things. I guess my problem with things like Google Groups is, do you know where to go? Do you know what you're doing? I would really like to see everything, you know, with the capacity of the Internet to centralize information in one spot and yet be able to go everywhere. I like it so that people know they can go to the Pacifica website, and from there they can navigate through all the different committee-type stuff and things they might want to know when they're sitting there for 6 hours figuring out what they're doing. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So that's going to be a work in progress leading to the next meeting, so that's great. The next item on our agenda is the universal release form for live in-house music and local bands. Now, I know that a couple of release forms were sent out to our group. Excuse me. That was before we had a central email address. So what I'd like to do is I'll commit to searching through my email so that I can put all of those forms that we received into this email that we have, this email group, so that we could all look at them side by side. Because I don't know that everyone has seen them all. Because I know that, who sent? I think I got quite a few from Ali. He might have sent me two or three, or at least two release forms for us to look at. And so I think that that's what we need to do. I'm not prepared to move on that at this point without having all that information centralized. But does anyone else have any thoughts about this?
So, Kathy, this is Summer. So you're going to pull together basically the different release forms that have come in and
put them into this listserv.
Okay, so we can take a look
so
at it.
So that everyone can take a look at it. And then in that way, we can, when we discuss it, we'll have some basis for creating a universal form.
Okay, that sounds good. So maybe that's something for next month's agenda as well, to have that stuff in advance of that meeting so we could discuss it at that meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill again.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I can't remember if I sent it to you, but I think I mentioned at the last meeting, the form we use at KPFT, it may not be the best one. It's the PRA archive form, mm-hmm. release form. Specifically oriented towards music, but mm-hmm. So it might need to be adapted some. But that's what we use for, we use it primarily for musicians when they do local live mm-hmm. performances on air.
Okay. I'll check. You may have sent it. I know that I received a few of them, so I'll check. If I don't find it, I'll ask you to send again, or if you have it accessible, you can send it again. But I do remember receiving a number of forms from various members of this committee. Okay, good. Okay, the next item is a software for logging music being played. I don't know where we are with that. I think
Sorry, I missed that.
That's next on the agenda, the software for logging music. What I had discovered that I didn't know initially was that for at least for the remainder of this year, maybe next year, that it has to be done quarterly for a 2-week period on a quarterly basis.
What do you mean?
So that means that it's not a constant.
Have to do this quarterly?
My understanding is that the reporting period is quarterly for 2 weeks within a quarterly period. So that means that, you might pick the last 2 weeks in June, because that's the end of a quarterly period, and you have to have absolute reporting. And then that has to be sent in to the Sound Exchange. And then the next quarter, you have to send in another 2 weeks to Sound Exchange. That's my understanding.
Where did you get that?
That's what we're doing here at the station.
Oh, could you please send that out to the list? Because our music programmers are just choking out here from not being able to. I mean, we've got people. Please, anything you've got we're operating under a completely different interpretation of this in Los Angeles.
Well, I will double check with our program director, but
Max here.
Yes, Max.
My take on this is that even though we're only reporting for 2 weeks out of a quarter, that means that we, I guess, will feel free to violate the internet broadcasting all the rest of the time. And I don't know if that's a good practice, because at some point we're going to have to come into line full-time. I thought they said next year we would be doing full-time reporting. So, it's kind of silly to me to only, say that we're complying or prove that we're complying for 2 weeks out of a quarter.
Well, see, it's hard to say. It's hard to say because I do the reporting for the public affairs significant issues for the FCC, and they ask for a quarterly report, but it's not wall to wall. It means that we have to report a significant amount of our programming and a significant number of issues that we've covered, but I don't have to do verbatim every single program on the schedule.
No, I understand that, but my problem is that by, only complying for 2 weeks, I'm not saying that that's what's happening, but I'm saying it would certainly encourage people to, not comply with it the rest of the time. And I could give you instances, but, at some point, we're going to have to comply all of the time, unless they come to their senses and change this regulation and make it more broadcast friendly.
Yeah. Well, that's an important question, because I think that the producers are honoring their music by giving the proper broadcast or names of their music and where it comes from, and all those things that are needed.
During the reporting period only.
I'm not suggesting that producers not do that all the time. I was just referring to the fact that the reporting period is in an interim phase. And you're right, at some point it's going to have to be wall-to-wall 24-7.
And, you know, I think the sooner we lean towards doing that, the better off. People will adjust to it more easily, I think, if it's, you know, if they're mindful of it all the time.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that, but and that's probably why it's important to begin the work on the release, the universal release form for in-house music, because, you know, part of the difficulty with this reporting system is that it's not just reporting, it's a regulated, the play of music is regulated, so that means that in a 3-hour period, you can't play more than 3 songs of a given artist.
Yes,
and if
only I'm painfully aware of all.
Yeah,
of the
so it's a very complex system that, and since we don't have 3-hour programs, mostly we have 1-hour and 2-hour programs, and the overnight we have longer. But so it's hard to for one program to know what the early. So it's complicated.
Okay. From that standpoint, yes. But you know, for example, people who like to use a musical bed under their pitching. You can now no longer play more than 4 tracks from any release at a time, which means that the whole concept of doing a program, whether it's pitching or just, you know, as certain people on the station do, just like to have a bed of music under them, and that's no longer possible.
Well, you're correct. You're correct, unless we have releases for that music. And unless, as you know, I had spoke earlier about using copyright-free music or open-source music, and one of the reasons I was suggesting that we start doing that is because you can play open-source music without being, you know, having this kind of a regulation because it's open-source music. So not that you wouldn't give credit to the artist, but that we wouldn't be restricted in our play, in our use. So that's the advantage of having release forms or using open source, you know, of compiling open source.
This is Summer.
Yes, Summer.
I think that could be used, frankly, to our advantage as we think about, like, what we're doing with programming. I mean, our mission statement talks about live music, and I know other stations do other things, but we don't do very much live music out here in L.A., that if we... you know, sort of tailored some programming around hearing new music and let people know that, you know, if you're an open source, new band, whatever, that you'll get played more often because you're kind of letting us use your music. And, you know, probably people would be turning stuff into it just to get on the air, you know, and out of that, there'll be some good stuff.
I'm sure, I feel certain that that would happen. I think the disadvantage is that a lot of producers use music editorially. So, you know, so if you're doing a show on a particular topic or a particular genre or a particular mood, you're going to look for the kind of music that people, you might look for a Stevie Wonder tune or you might look for the Beatles. So there's certain music where it's always going to be a difficult thing, but at least we can move it along so that it isn't quite so challenging, so that we can move into this system where it is an ongoing reporting and people can have at least access to the open source music and to music that's been given, we've been given releases for. And the reason, the advantage of doing it nationally is that, well, I in New York, we could create a national database of music that's released that we could all use at the 5 stations. So even if you don't do a lot of live music there in your station, we in New York might be doing live. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real advantage to at least getting this off the ground. But the other thing that's actually not on our agenda that we have to talk about is that there is an effort afoot to make our analog broadcasts operate under the same rules, which would totally... disrupt our regular system. You know, it would disrupt what we do as live radio. So,
well, unless we adopt the practice of editing programs before we put them on the web, you know, we're going to have to do that.
Well, yeah, but what I was referring to is the fact that if these rules get adopted for our regular broadcast, then we can't, you know, it has a much deeper effect. we're not just talking about the web. There's the potential that it'll be like this even for our radio.
But that's the case anyway, since our broadcast is the web. You know, I mean, everything we broadcast goes on the web, at least
yeah.
the VAI, and I assume everywhere else. So, I mean, it's
yes,
it's already tied in.
I'm not talking about tied in. You're talking about we can edit for the web. We cannot edit for the air. So at the point that these rules apply to the broadcast air, it will change what we do. Because we can't edit for the air. The air is what it is.
Well,
so,
as an arts producer, I think I have a different take on this. Because we already have to edit the air because of the web regulations. It may not be so where it's all talk, but music programs already are suffering from it, are facing that.
Well taken. All right. Okay, but my point was, is that we might have to think about some kind of programming that's going to inform our listeners, just like we inform people and they take legislative action
mm-hmm.
with regard to healthcare. I'm suggesting that we might want to create either a campaign on the internet or create information on our air that will let our listeners know that maybe if they sent a letter to Congress, they could have an impact on this. You know, that's what I'm saying, is that it may be to our advantage to not be so passive about it.
And there's a campaign we could put on the website. Just have a form letter with links, the way
mm-hmm.
many other organizations do.
Yeah, and I'm suggesting that we consider doing that. So that we don't lose the genre that was created by Pacifica.
Well, maybe we should put that as an action item for tech committee, develop a petition after some consideration of what the legal issues are that we want to bring to the listeners' attention, because that's something that could be put on all the websites.
Yeah, that sounds great. Make that
okay.
an action item. I think that's a direction that we can go as well.
Senator, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You talking about a campaign to change the terms of the agreement with Sound Exchange?
I'm talking about
the laws that underlie it.
The law, yeah, the law. I'm talking about looking at it deeper than just our agreement with Sound Exchange, but looking at, you know, more from the perspective of freedom of speech issues and, you know.
Let me just say my piece about it. The current terms that are negotiated are the result of a huge process of negotiation and campaigning and so on the part of a lot of radio, you know, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters and a lot of radio folks. You know, negotiations that went on for years, and we've kind of missed the boat on that. I mean, we didn't, I don't know that anybody from Pacifica took part in that, but it's not something that's going to be easy to change right now, but at this stage of the game.
Well, you know, but
this
is Pacifica, and this is what we do. I'm not suggesting that anything is easy. You know, how long have we been campaigning to Frima Mia and all these other things doesn't mean that we should give up the ship. I'm just suggesting that it might be something that would be worthwhile for us to do. And granted, maybe we were, as a network, sleeping on this whole thing. Certainly we must have been in order for this to have transpired. But at the same time, we're at a juncture where, you know, even with Max, with your position that, well, music producers are already changing because of the internet. Realistically, though, if we were not streaming on the internet, you could do whatever you want on the radio.
Well,
so,
that's true.
And yes, so, but at the point that it becomes legally impossible to do what we want on the radio, that's another level of oppression as far as broadcasting. And we may be able to have an impact there.
This is Summer.
Yes, Summer.
I think, you know, the general concept that we're groping towards, though, has merit overall, you know, because our station, when the FCC had hearings out here, you mm-hmm. know, we talked about it a lot. So a lot of people packed the hearings. When things like net neutrality come up, you know, we have our programs talk about these issues, but we don't necessarily say try to create a web-based application that supports it for issues that directly affect our network and our stations, particularly, you know, technology and internet and commerce type issues and FCC regulations. And we should think about that, you know, on a regular basis. If there are issues coming up which will have an impact on our broadcasting, we should think about having, like, petitions on all of our websites. Because these things, you know, I mean, there'll be different battles different times, but just in terms of how we think, we should be using our listener base as a an advocacy group and constituency when there are laws coming up that threaten what we do.
So. Yeah, I agree. Well, at least it certainly deserves more attention and further discussion. We are actually at 10 o'clock, which is certainly long enough for me to be on any call, but I'd like to try to get through the next big topic. We were talking about software for logging music being played, so that's kind of the discussion we just had. The Otis tutorial we can't discuss because Otis is not here, but this technology best practices functional capacity for national programming, which we've put underneath George's motion. Are there any technology limitations that would need to be overcome at any of our stations to broadcast a special event originating at one of the stations in the network or an affiliate if the signal was coming over the satellite and over the internet? So that strikes me as something that's going to require a task force in itself, because the only way to answer this question is to reach out to the technicians at each station and find out what their capacity is, I would imagine. So I would like to propose that we create a task force for this purpose. Is there any objection or support for that?
Good idea.
Okie dokie. So I do know that already it was Jim and Otis that were going to be working on this together, and I had originally proposed it, so I'm certainly interested in working on this topic. So for the moment, I'm going to include myself, Jim, and Otis. Can I include anyone, or is anyone else interested in being part of this task force?
Well, I'm certainly interested. I mean, this feeds right into the discussion at the A&B meeting about covering things from the grassroots and affiliates and all those things, and I'd like to see us more on top of news. I feel a little overcommitted, so I'd hope.
Yeah,
be a
I was thinking that, but
yeah,
totally.
But I would like to. I mean, I think this is a really important project. So I think if you know,
well, what would the work of this group be? I'm not sure how people could volunteer or what they would be doing.
Well, I think that the objective, the overall objective, as I understand it, is to allow for a smooth connectivity in terms of transferring sound from one site to another site. So should we be originating the sound from an affiliate or from one of the Pacifica's network stations, we need to develop sort of a rule book of what is needed at each station. Is it an ISDN line? Is it that, what is it, that thing? Is it a Comrex machine? You know, what kind of technology?
Or Skype.
Skype even. So that we can sort of put together the various technologies that would suffice or be required to make it possible to do these kinds of broadcasts with more ease and success. I think that's the idea. So that we can move on a topic very quickly. So, for instance, when they started with the program with you know, the immigration bill, was it in Arizona? Mm-hmm. You know, so that maybe we could all pick up on that really quickly if we had a system in place that we could access. So that's my understanding of what this is about, so that the technology or the engineers from each station could be pulled to bring their expertise to bear to create a system that could be put in place for the network. Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I suggest you include Otis and John, at least invite them.
Well, Otis and Jim have already spoken about being a part of that.
Oh, okay,
and certainly John Almella, definitely.
And also people like Mitch Jesurich or whoever else has been involved in national broadcasts would probably know some of the things that I don't want to look out for.
Therein lies the work of the task force. That's what I meant by reaching out to people at each station
okay.
who do technology.
And, you know, FSRN sort of does this on a daily basis. They have people all over the world and put together a half hour every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Seems to me that the technology is, you know, should be pretty much in every station at this point. This to me seems like a sort of case-by-case.
Well, I think that there is a patchwork of technology in place, certainly, but I guess the focus of the task force would be to sort of create a not so much a rule book but a template book, so that it doesn't matter who's in the studio, that they would have the access to information, because one of the things that I found. In terms of technology, it has a lot to do with the level of information that the person on hand has access to. So if we have a Pacifica book that gives all of the ISDN numbers at the Pacifica stations, that gives instructions on how to set up the ISDN machine, how to make a call on the ISDN machine, how to do a mix minus, because what happens if you're you know, you can get feedback if you don't set up the equipment correctly. You know, so if we had something that was really technical, mm-hmm. that each station could just look at or dial, you know, look on the internet or wherever we keep it, and say, okay, something is jumping off in some state, even if it's not a Pacifica station, and I want to make sure that we cover it, then that means that we have to get in touch with KPFA, because KPFA has control of the satellite. So you have to, you know, what is the procedure to reserve space on the satellite? Because if both channels are being used, we can't use the satellite. You know, so it's just basic information, and so that there can be a smooth transition of figuring out how to get this information on the air, and so that even if an affiliate has something, then we have to say, okay, the affiliate, you know, we have to just, okay, this is the person you contact, would probably most likely be Ursula. I don't know who else they would contact first, but either way, you know, there has to be a way for the stations to connect, because even me as a New York station, I would have loved to have something live from Arizona or from wherever something is jumping off.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we could look at what resources each station has. So, for instance, WBAI had two of the remote Comrex machines that allow you to broadcast using satellite. As far as I'm aware, Pacifica has been using one of those for all of the board meetings and a lot of the remotes. You know, so, you know, there may be equipment at each station that might need to be accessible for certain things, or there might be a list of equipment that each station needs to have. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of create a unified status quo that's high quality, that would allow us to be very responsive to what's happening in the world, so that we, Pacifica, could be the leader in, you know, bringing this information that may be happening on a local level. We can, you know, we can blow it up to a national level real quick. I think it would be great if we had that capacity.
Hear, hear.
So that's that was what I had proposed in that first meeting, and this is kind of sort of in tune with what George is proposing now. So that's the task force, and I think also if we continue to use our listserv as we move forward, everybody can have a window into what's happening, and then that way, if you have a mm-hmm. suggestion or you want to work on a particular project,
yeah.
you would have a window into it, but you wouldn't necessarily have the time to carry forward the task.
Totally.
So that's what I'm proposing. And as the task force grows, then more people would be invited onto it. It could be people from each station.
I was going to suggest maybe, Kathy, it does seem that it would be important as we move forward and maybe as the attendance improves, I hope, that you have like at least a point person from each signal area, somebody who is specifically tasked with finding out what the technology situation is at that station and brings it back to the task force or something.
Exactly. Right, I agree. Okay, so I guess I would move. I don't know if I did move, but I'm moving that this best practices task force be formed at this time.
What do you want to call your task force? Because a best practices website task force already. So
yeah, so a best practices broadcast. I guess.
National broadcast.
National. I don't know if it's national so much, because when I say national broadcast, the notion is that we're talking about something from the top down, and I'm actually looking at something that's like peer, more peer-based.
A technical manual out of it, so you have instructions. So
You're
moving to develop a task force to help.
Facilitate special event programming?
Aha, I like that.
Okay.
That was sort of language from George's.
Okay, that sounds good. Kathy, you want to add to that?
Facilitate. Well, I don't know if that's what I was going for. I think that's fine. But I think it's more about technological functionality for each station. You know, so it's more about each station having a high level of technology, a functional technology. So it could be for national programming, or it could be for the station to do locally. But it's the important thing is to have a unified technical functionality.
Technological functionality task force. Is that
yeah.
Okay.
For lack of a better phrase.
Okay. I was tripping over this thing going, okay. I'll second you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none, I'll consider that task force to be formed. And as I'm moving the task force, I'll reach out to those people who have already committed to it and try to put together some kind of task force meeting so we can move and actually accomplish some of these things. So I'm happy to do that. Okie dokie. I think we are actually done with our agenda.
Yay.
So I am moving to adjourn. I guess there's no objections. Does one cannot object to that, right? Adjourning. So I guess we are adjourned.
Thank you so much.
Good.
And we
Thank
will
you.
Be meeting again in approximately 1 month, Wednesday, June 30th at 8:30 p.m. And I'm knowingly doing this, knowing that I'm going to be on vacation. So